This land is your land. This land is my land. From California to the New York Island. From the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters. This land was made for you.
Welcome back to The People Speak with me, Cindy Sheehan, on BBS Radio. And if you're listening live, then you're on the website. You have the phone numbers to call in if you want to ask questions or make comments for our guest today or for the show. It's right there. The number's right there on the website. We're on BBS Radio, too. Our guest today, I'm very excited to welcome Aaron Brockovich. I think unless you've been in a cave or hiding under a rock for the last couple of decades, you know who Erin Brockovich is. She is an environmental activist who, despite her lack of formal education in the law, was instrumental in building a case against the Pacific Gas and Electric Company of California in 1993. And in my view, in my opinion, she's also someone who didn't just quote unquote take the money and run or rest on her laurels. She's still fighting to champion the cause of a clean planet and justice for people harmed by big corporations and mega polluters. Erin Brockovich, a very warm welcome to The People Speak.
Oh, it's nice to be here. Thank you, Cindy, for having me. I hope you're well.
We're doing okay, except the reason that I asked you to first thought of having you on my show, I also have a show called Cindy Sheehan Soapbox, and I just started doing The People Speak a couple months ago, but 2 years ago, I live in Vacaville, California, and two mm-hmm. years ago, we got a notice from our water company saying, you know, our water probably won't kill you, but if we were you, we wouldn't drink it. That was basically the gist of the letter. But right after we got the letter, my daughter said, Mom, look at Erin Brockovich made a comment on Facebook about what's happening here in Vacaville. And it's exactly what you were fighting in Hinckley, California. So, you know, right after that, Erin, I mean, we spend about $20 a week on reverse osmosis drinking water, but we're still bathing in it. We're still washing our clothes and dishes and things, watering our vegetables with it. Talk a little bit about, and then we just noticed Vacaville, the city of Vacaville is being sued by Riverwatch. Can you comment about what's going on here?
Well, I can tell you, we're certainly investigating it. You know, we're looking at who the polluter is. It's definitely a hexavalent chromium problem. I'm not privy to Riverwatch. I know the organization, and they're very, very good. Exactly what their litigation is, but it's a problem that's happening everywhere. And you know, there isn't a Hinckley, and there isn't just a Flint. They're everywhere. They're in your backyard. They're in my backyard. And this is just a problem that we're seeing throughout the entire United States right now. And you know, one thing that we try to stay very focused on my public Facebook page is the truth of what's going on. And you hear all the time, I've got a fourth book coming out, The Truth of America's Water Supply. And my ghostwriter, who's doing the book with me, was in Florida, and there was a big sign in a $300 a night hotel room, don't drink the water. Mm. And then in the downstairs washroom, even though it smells funny and it looks ugly, it's safe to drink. Just kind of like what they were telling you. I mean, and so this is going on everywhere. And I think people are like, their common sense at some point kicks in and goes, wait a minute, somebody's not being up in front here with me, because if it looks like that or smells like that or it's that color, it's safe to drink, I'm not buying it. And I think people are in a phase right now where they're going to have to really get savvy. They're going to have to be informed, aware, ask questions, and protect themselves. You know, reverse osmosis is a good step. They're more of the high end. Many people will say they can't afford that. Mm-hmm. The only thing that we talk about with the reverse osmosis is, you know, as it pulls the pollutant out, we're actually putting it in very low levels back in. So we would still recommend reverse osmosis, but there's always a little side to where somebody will say, well, what are you doing with the waste from there? It's right. a problem. And most important that I can say, I get thousands of emails a month. We're working diligently across the United States. I've created a community health book where people can report these issues. They can report disease. They can report illness. The map is loading up very, very fast. Is people need to be informed, and they need to be aware so they can make better choices on how they're going to protect themselves and their family. It's a big problem, and there's a lot of vacavilles around. You know, Environmental Working Group had done a study. Two-thirds of the municipal water supply in the U.S., two-thirds, actually has hexavalent chromium in it that's being delivered to the tap.
Right, and I read today, which is probably right in line with the stats you just said, 200 million people in the United States are drinking water that is contaminated with hexavalent.
Yep, two-thirds.
Right.
That is correct.
That's
just one chemical, Cindy. You know, we are dealing frantically on the PFOA and the PFOS issues in Alabama, Pennsylvania, New York, Vermont, New Hampshire, West Virginia, Colorado, Minnesota, and California. And this has been something that's been in people's water supplies for years. So the hexavalent chromium is one chemical. We could sit here and talk about 5 to 7 to 10 other compounds that are in our water supplies today. Lead. We've all watched what's going on with Flint. I had a friend up in D.C., and she was in one of the buildings right down from the senator's office. And right there in the bathroom, it says, do not drink water, and underneath it had a lead warning. It's like, are you kidding me? Right there in the nation's capital. So water is a concern. Water is an issue. We are in a daily campaign on water and the problems that we're having across America. And I tell people, Superman's not coming. I don't know who that may be for you. It could be the EPA, could be a state, local, federal agency. We need to wake up, and we need to be aware. We need to ask questions. We need to get involved at a local level and begin to understand what our water quality is, what our municipalities are serving, and what we can do to protect ourselves.
Right, and like you said, we have you know, most people who are drinking contaminated water, which is most people in the United States, we don't have the luxury of just picking up and moving somewhere where the water might be better. But I was watching something about Hinckley, and one of the women who, I think it was on 2020, one of the women who was affected by it got the settlement. And she moved where she thought she was safe out of the
Roberta.
Range. Right.
Roberta Walker. Mm-hmm.
It's creeping up to where she lives if it's not already there. So
it's
even if we
had
the means to move, where are we going to move that we're not affected by this poison water?
That's a really good question because, you know, right now as I watch my community health book fill up and I monitor the emails that come in to me, let alone where I'm down on the ground, I'm a foot soldier down on the ground, there's not many places where we do have clean water. We have issues with the exceedance of the trihalomethanes. We have municipalities violating the Safe Drinking Water Act. They've found ways to cheat the system, and that's by throwing ammonia into the system. The ammonia is making the chlorination less effective. This is why we're seeing Legionella outbreaks, brain-eating amoeba outbreaks. We're anticipating we could have a superbug. This is precisely why, other than Flint, because they switched their river waters, but everywhere else, this is why we're seeing the lead crisis. We have the EPA, who has been overburdened and understaffed and underfunded for a very long time. They've got 30,000 Superfund sites they can't get to. We have mines collapsing and destroying rivers. We have industry everywhere from TCE to Chrome 6 to PFOA to 1,4-dioxane everywhere. And it is, I worry that people let this fall on a deaf ear because it's so daunting, and it is. But I am seeing hope and change by way of example, in the town of Hannibal, they came to me. They had lead levels higher than what you saw in Flint. We went into the community, and we educated them on why it was happening, what they could do about it. A couple of women in the room said, there's got to be more. How can we make this change? And we said, get involved at your local level. You could run for city council. And they did. And they won. And they went door to door, and they educated the entire town on the use of ammonia, what it does, how it can harm you. They got a referendum, they got it on the ballot, and the town voted. No more ammonia. Now it's law, and the municipalities must comply. That is people getting united, taking action, getting involved, and they're making a difference. And that is still the hope of we the people. And once we're informed, we do better, and we rise to the occasion. And I'm seeing it happening everywhere.
Well, like you said, there's many Vacaville's, many Hinckley's, many Flint's, and Flint, Michigan really appears to be a very appalling example of, pollutants in the water and the lack of any movement on the government to solve the problem. I saw that you did an appearance with, what's his name, Stephen Colbert, and mm-hmm. you said that, the government should be providing people with filters for their water. What's the current situation in Flint, Michigan? Because even though there are, like we just said, 200 million people in the United States who don't have clean drinking water, whose children and grandchildren and themselves are being poisoned, Flint just seems to be a very appalling and egregious example of this. What's the current situation on the ground there?
Well, Hinckley taught us that pollution gets into the water. Flint taught us that government agencies cover it up, which we saw in Hinckley as well, but it was in your face in Flint. That community came to us a year before Flint became what you know it to be today, and that was through Melissa Mays. And again, it was a group of concerned mothers that weren't getting their answers and they weren't going to go away. They've been awarded and I don't think awarded is the correct word, but in Congress, $190 million. I'm not sure that they've received it. They're still not receiving clean water. They now have issues where because they're not paying their water bills, because the water is polluted, it looks like homes could be foreclosed upon. They're still down there marching. They're still not getting answers. There's been grand jury indictments. The wrong people, even though they were involved, higher up should be looking at some jail time. But there are people from the city through grand juries that have been indicted that are going to go to prison. So there's a lot going on. There's a lot of talk and there's a lot of awareness. But these people still yet do not have clean, safe water.
They're being provided bottled water, but like I said earlier, you still have to bathe in it.
You shower in it. And this is an excellent point. People do not realize, hexavalent chromium is more dangerous in the shower through inhalation. And so these are things that are really important on people showering in it, washing their clothes in it, and bathing in it. And that's a huge concern. So some of the people who just aren't taking showers as often. They'll fill a bathtub up with, distilled water from the store or bottled water, or they take quick sponge baths. But it's a problem. And, it's inexcusable to me that any community would have to wait this long in this country in 2017. I mean, we flip third world in some of our water conditions. I mean, they still can't get Hinckley cleaned up. They're looking at decade after decade before that aquifer is clean. The town of Hinckley is gone. It's a ghost town. They bought the post office. They bought the grocery store. It's over. It's gone. Is that what's going to happen to Flint? Is that what's going to happen to every community here in America? It's really of concern. And I don't say this lightly. I've been down on the ground for over 20 years doing this. And in Flint, the idea that they are still waiting for the money. And I applaud the work of the plumbers union out there. They're trying to go in at their own time, no charge, and replacing pipes and doing what they can to get people clean water. And even though they've switched back to their old water supply and they're not using Flint River water, the distribution system was already destroyed.
Right.
And it's still leaching lead. And it is unforgivable that to this date we have not taken swift, immediate action and gotten that system replaced.
It is just abominable. Like you said, it's a third. We have third world conditions here with our water sources. We should, clean water and clean air to breathe are human rights, and it's just getting so bad that the people at the top who profit off of all these things, how can they protect their families from the pollution?
They're going to have to do exactly what all of us are. We're going to have to become informed, become aware, become involved. I've seen many communities, because a lot of times these things happen at a local level where local city council can pass ordinances and laws to make something change, but oftentimes they don't know that they're what's going on. And, and that's one of the problems. We've got old policies. If we back it up to Flint and talk about lead for a moment, most people think, oh, well, we're protected and there's an MCL, maximum contaminant limit for lead. Well, that's wrong. There is no one. There is no MCL, no limit for lead. None.
Wow.
And the the lead and copper rule under the Safe Drinking Water Act applies that you only have to test for lead one time every 4 years. So you could be drinking lead for 4 years and not even know it, because they only have to test one time in 4 years. And on top of that, they can average the samples. So the poor person down the line that has really high lead levels and it doesn't get averaged in will never have any idea what's going on. So there's policies that have to be changed. There's local city council ordinances that could be put into play. And people, again, need to pick up the banner. Superman's not coming, whoever you may want to think that is. And I've been to my communities. I hear them, the EPA's here. We're safe. No, you are not.
Obviously.
You better start knowing what your water quality is. Do not assume when you turn on that tap it's safe. If you notice a color change, if you smell something, call that municipality. Demand your water report. If you don't know what's in it, you can email it to me. We'll tell you what it is, and we'll try to help you find the best filtration system that you can use to protect yourself until somebody can come in at a further investigation and find out the extent of how dangerous the problem really is. We're going to have to arm ourselves.
Well, thank you. I was listening so intently to your answer just now, I kind of forgot what my next question was going to be. Because I have a bunch of questions written down, but sometimes my guests say something that makes me think of something else to ask them. Oh, yeah, this is what I was going to ask you. We have a lot of listeners outside of California. And for when you were fighting for the town of Hinckley, you were fighting PG&E. For the people outside of California who might not know, tell my listeners how powerful they are in California.
Oh, well, let's see. North Carolina, Duke Energy, look how powerful they are to the state of North Carolina. That's what PG&E is to California. PG&E, from about San Francisco all the way up to the Canadian border, actually Bakersfield, because here in Southern California, we have Southern Cal Edison.
Right.
But from Bakersfield all the way up, the only utility that they can rely on is PG&E. So PG&E is extraordinarily powerful in this state. For most people, that's the only place they're going to get their power. They're worth billions and billions of dollars, and they've just never run their business, in my opinion, with any integrity whatsoever. I've had whistleblowers come forward. you know, we've got explosions because they're not maintaining their infrastructure or their pipelines underground.
Right.
And people are getting blown up in their homes. You know, we had the same problem with PG&E in Kettleman. And I did that case after PG&E, the first case in Hinckley. And that settled 7 years after the film came out for $333 million. After the film came out, PG&E deceived the state again. And they stopped their cleanup process in Hinckley that caused the plume to break out further. That's what happened
right.
to Roberta Walker. And right.
right
there it was. Talk about getting struck by lightning twice. So they certainly don't have very good ethics. They have a lot of money. They have a lot of power. And they've kind of got people by the you-know-what because they really don't have anywhere else to get their power from, especially from Bakersfield all the way to the Canadian border. So if you think of, like, Duke Energy and how powerful they are in North Carolina, if you think about Exxon or how powerful they would be down in Louisiana or the oil industry down in Louisiana, that's what PG&E is in California.
Right. So they pay these fines that are practically just slaps on the wrist, and nobody goes, they just have destroyed towns and get killed.
The water
people.
Supply.
Nobody goes to nobody goes to jail, but they get these slaps on the wrist that be like us getting a $300 fine. Well, Aaron, if you don't mind, we have a caller, Samantha. Samantha, are you there? Do you have a question or comment?
Hi, Cindy. Hi, Aaron. I am
Hello.
So pleased to talk to you both.
Nice to talk to you.
I have an issue. I was staying at my father's in southern Illinois. He has some farmland there. And while I was there, I was taking baths in the water. And apparently, you're not supposed to drink it. And I didn't know until now about the absorption level of skin. And I ended up getting some very severe issues and health issues that have lasted me already. It's already been maybe 9 years now. And I have tumors all in my liver now. And it's the water issue. And I thought I was going to be okay, you know, up in Chicago to get away from the water issue, but I just seemed to just jump right into another water issue. I find I have a water filter, and the water filter had, I opened the water filter to put some more water in it from the tap, and I had that zero water, supposed to be really good. And I look in the top of it, and there's actually, you can actually see the grime, and you can see fish eggs.
What?
There was actual fish eggs in my water. I save the filters. I save the pictures that I took of the fish eggs. And I just
That's
can't
bizarre.
Get away from these waters. It's disgusting. It is disgusting.
Well, first of all, you bring up a really good point, and it's important that everybody knows their water quality. And by the way, your municipal systems, now, unless you're on well water, and people don't realize, we still have 33 million Americans on well water. And that's a system off the grid. And so unless they do private testing, which can be really expensive, they won't know what's in their water. They'll do chlorination, of course, you know, for bacteria and viruses, but they won't know chemicals. In the municipalities, they should be providing you, if you are on a municipal system, with water quality reports. If they're not, demand it, because they're supposed to be supplying you with that. So you at least have an idea what's in your water. And if you don't know, again, people can always email me about that. I would be interested where you grew up from in Illinois, and were you on well water at that time or city water?
In down at my dad's farm or whatever, well, if we have a farmhouse and it's separate from the farm. So we do have a well on the farmland, but we don't have a well at the house. We go with municipal water.
Okay, so your house was city water?
The house was city water.
Okay. Well, you know, you can email me because I would. One of the things that I'm happening with my community health book is stories just like yours. A lot of these chemicals in our water have been there for a long time, and they have long latency periods. And so this community health book is turning into a cancer registry map quite quickly. And we don't look at migratory pathways of people. So here you have may have gone on to Chicago, but a real exposure could have happened to you 9 and 10 years ago. And now you're seeing the result with the issues in your liver. So if you write me and I know where you're from, we can take a look at that. And then currently the story with the zero water and the fish eggs, I'm speechless on that one. I don't even know what to say.
I tweeted it to the EPA. I got some other people that tweeted me back going, gross. EPA said nothing to me. I sent it to Emmanuel, our horrible mayor, and no response. I've had no response from anyone, and the suffering is horrible. I can't sleep on my right side because it swells up so much. It's really hard to deal with the physical issues. I mean, I actually had from bathing in the water, because I had to, in my dad's house, he's got his little area and I've got my little area that I only went there to visit because I had just lost his wife from brain cancer. So I was taking baths in this tub because no one ever used it and turned it into a shower. This house is like from 1800s. So I would take baths, right? So I ended up developing these like cysts on my buttocks, and I actually had to end up getting like grapefruit size and a lemon size all cut out of my buttocks because of what was growing there. And what actually, I mean, the doctor looked at me like I was absolutely insane, but we grow in that area, it's all soybeans and corn, right? So there was actually a baby soybean that came out of my buttocks.
What?
A baby soybean came out of my buttocks.
Wow.
And I don't.
That's a new one on me. I gotta tell you, I've been out there a long time. That's a new one for me. Are you living in Chicago now and not where you grew up?
I'm in Chicago now. No, I mean, I didn't grow up there. I was just there because, just to try to be around my dad, you know, because he just lost his wife, and I was here for like about a year, 2 years. So the exposure was for like 2 years.
Okay.
And I pretty much got sick within probably 6 months of bathing there.
Okay. Well, it would be good to know where those 2 years you were, because, you know, we can look into that area and what might be there. Because going forward, you obviously care about your health, as we all do, and you'd want to know for a doctor to help you further if there was an exposure event. So we could look at that. And two, where you currently reside, I don't know who your municipality is, but I would call them and get your water quality.
But doctors don't take you seriously when you tell them that you've had, know that you've had glyphosate exposure, you know you've been taking baths in bad water. And they don't. I mean, I was like, can you do some kind of chelation? Can you do some kind of a therapy so you can get this out of my system? Because I know there's going to be issues. Well, I mean, I pushed it and pushed it. No one did anything. And here I am still with this now with these tumors. I had to have a tumor cut out of my arm. And now I asked the oncologist, you know, I said, well, can you do something about the tumors in my, you know, in my liver and stuff? And she goes, oh, no, we can't do anything. Your liver would look like Swiss cheese if we started trying to take it out.
Well, Samantha and Aaron, we're going to have to take a quick break. And you're listening to The People Speak with Cindy Sheehan. And our guest is Aaron Brockovich. And Samantha, if you want to hang on through the break, you can get Erin's email and send her all the information so she can follow up with you, okay? And please keep in touch with us and just wish you all the, you know, all the best and, you know, for your health and for certain. Come, you
masters of war. Hi, this is Cindy Sheehan. I've been a peace activist since 2004 when my son Casey was killed in Iraq. I've learned since then that achieving peace means more than just being anti-war. It encompasses being pro-environment and pro-equality for all people of all genders, religion, and ethnicities. Please join me at cindysheehansoapbox.blogspot.com with many other people who believe in working for a more peaceful and humane future.
Hi, I'm Richard Valzer. This is the great BBS Radio.
With over 150 million registered users, Pal Talk is the largest video chat community in the world, with over 300 Pal Talk support staff speaking dozens of languages to help you enjoy your online experience. Meet new people across town or country or continent while chatting about your interests. Sing live karaoke, listen to music, join a lively political debate, or play group trivia in one of thousands of chat rooms in various categories from your PC, mobile, or tablet device. Joining Pal Talk is free and easy. Go to paltalk.com and become part of our friendly community today.
You're listening to BBS Radio. If it's not mainstream, it's on bbsradio.com.
This land is yours.
Join us on The People Speak for an hour of live interviews and audience interaction as guests of various organizations share their work and strategies which impact our world and make a difference. That's The People Speak every Tuesday, 6 to 7 p.m. Pacific, 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern on the BBS Radio Network.
This land was made for you and me.
Welcome back to The People Speak with Cindy Sheehan, and our guest is the wonderful Erin Brockovich. Erin, I want, before we talk about the Veterans Initiative that you're involved in, I think, which is really important, Samantha brings up a point that I did want to ask you about. The reason I told you I wanted to get in touch with you for about the last 2 years, and the reason I wasn't able to is because I was caregiver for my sister, who recently passed away from very aggressive breast cancer. Thank you. The thing I noticed when I was going through this with her, because I had to take her to her appointments and you know, sit in the hospital with her, you know, whatever was happening, was that the doctors, just like Samantha said, the doctors don't want to talk about how it could be environmental. They want to talk about how it's probably genetic, and it's all about genetics. It's not about radiation. It's not about the toxins in our water or air or our food or anything like that. Have you, like Samantha said, her doctors won't believe her that it, that, you know, could be something in the water that's causing her to be so sick.
Well, yeah, I do understand that, and it happens with everybody, and oftentimes without knowing precisely what chemical it is, you know, doctors won't always go there because it could be anything at that point. So that's why I wanted to know where she was from and a water quality report, because that can give us something to go by that will help a doctor understand what's happening with her. But it's not uncommon, unfortunately. And we saw this in Hinckley, California, too. And it wasn't even until we knew it was chrome 6. Then it got into, well, what were the levels? Because, you know, you have to drink it. They go by all of these, you know, OSHA standards and all of the test standards that they have out there, that it's a 70-year risk and you have to drink this amount for that long before you could see an effect, because it's only been studied on laboratory rats. And that's what they kind of want to go by. And that's going back to, and I hate to be repetitive, but again, my community health book, because it's become such a visual for me and for everybody that goes to it, because it's like, wait a minute, they're just, you know, couldn't randomly be this many people reporting, and we don't know what it is. And one of the problems we have is there's no national registry database. State by state will collect information on diseases and cancer, but they can't share it. But through self-reporting, we can, and we can take a bigger looker at the picture of what's going on. So I think there's a lot of missing data points that doctors need to be convinced by something. I don't know that we want to face the fact that the environment is, I'm perplexed how any of us can disassociate ourselves with all the numbers of illness, with all the water pollution, and think that that might not have a cause and effect on our health and welfare. So it becomes an exposure pathway, it becomes scientific, and doctors don't always know. But if you can get information about what you were exposed to, potentially you could say, listen, I just found out I've been drinking my water for 10 years that had high levels of hexavalent chromium. They have something solid, and they can begin to look at, okay, well, this is associated as a cancer-causing compound, and maybe we need to be looking for cancer or other diseases. So it's really important for the person, as Samantha was saying, to find out, and we could help her find out, where those 2 years were. Is there a known contamination? Because we might even be able to tell her it was atrazine. It maybe was glyphosate, which, by the way, is now, oh, see, we have this, oh, you know what, I can't say it on radio moment, where it's like, oh, my gosh, it does cause cancer, which we just now found out with the famous Monsanto glyphosate. It causes cancer. Who knew? I mean, we got some, by National Institute of Health's own admissions, some 80,000 plus chemicals out on the market. And they're known to cause cancer. In humans, we know this about TCE. We know this about benzene. We know this about chromium 6. We know it about other chemicals. So why would we not think that when you're ingesting or bathing or inhaling chemicals known to cause cancer, that it's a stretch when we show up with liver tumors or kidney failure or kidney tumors or throat cancer or nasal pharyngeal cancer? I mean, who would have ever stopped to think there would be an association between talc powder and ovarian cancer?
Right.
So it's science, and I don't say this disrespectfully. I do not, because I appreciate science, and we need science, and we need medicine. We do. But science lags behind the law. By way of example, the EPA, what we just had happen with the PFOAs, which the studies came in last May. It took them 10 years to conclude that this chemical caused testicular cancer, kidney cancer, cholesterol disease, and thyroid disease. So the EPA is waiting all these years for these studies, all these years we've been drinking it, and they say, oh my gosh, well, even though we don't have an MCL, we have, quote, a guideline set at 400 parts per trillion, it's way too high. We better reduce that to 70. So all the municipalities in the U.S. started screaming, because they're like, what? We've been serving people 400 parts per trillion on your guideline recommendation for 20 years. And then what happens? All of a sudden, my computer crashes, because communities are coming to us going, wait a minute, I live in this area. That's my municipal water supply. I have kidney cancer. I have testicular cancer. I have thyroid disease. By the scores, so we're suddenly surprised. So that's one of the problems, is science, and it's time to study these chemicals and their effects before they will conclude, oh, yeah, this does cause cancer. That's a problem.
Well, also, you know, when my sister had cancer, I did a lot of research, and like 100 years ago, one in about 100 people got cancer. Now today, it's one half of all men and one third of all women will get cancer. And to me, if it was genetic, I don't think it would have blossomed that fast. You know, it was like, so what if my great-great-great-grandpa had cancer 100 years ago or whatever. And now all of a sudden, one third of all women and half of all men are going to get cancer at some point in their lives. To me, that's not a genetic issue. Well, I'm not a scientist, of course, but common sense would say that all of these poisons in our environment have a lot to do with it.
Well, I certainly don't think we should rule it out. And as we are now seeing science catching up on the PFOA, you know, I was shocked. That is a very dangerous compound, and DuPont knew it. They knew it 25, 30 years ago. They sent out warnings to agencies that this was very bad. And I've seen those documents. And so in Hoosick Falls, New York, most of the people were on well water. And St. Gobain is the polluter in this situation, had extremely high levels of PFOA in their water. So the state paid to have blood tests done on the residents and the children, because PFOA can stay in your body 20 plus years. The children's levels were extremely, extremely high. And I was amazed to watch them do a march up in Albany on the Capitol. And these children wearing their placard cards around their neck with their PFOA blood levels.
Oh my
they're
God.
10 and they're 12. So
Jeez.
If this stays in the body 20 plus years, what's their future?
Right.
And so I think that we need to get busy funding research and science, and let's get a move on from the EPA. What are the top five chemicals? And we need to push hard through more funding, through more research, and a quicker pace what these chemicals can do, and not wait 10 years. Because
Right,
I get reports from communities all the time of children, 15-year-olds, blocks after blocks coming down with cancers. I live out in Agoura Hills, California. I thought it was pretty safe, but we're dealing with the whole Rocketdyne situation where they had a radioactive spill the size of Chernobyl in the 50s that nobody really wants
right.
to talk about.
Right.
And
right.
they've got all this exotic testing out there and exotic chemicals and hydrazine in people's backyard. And we have all this young population in Oak Park, really a mile from me, with boys and girls under 18 with rare eye cancers, rare uterine cancers, rare blood cancers. These are kids. So I don't know why we want to disassociate or why we wouldn't even consider or look into the chemicals that we know have fallen out there and these illnesses, and is there an association?
Well,
I'm not the scientist either, but you use a great word, common sense. When I stood out in Hinckley and I looked at two-headed frogs in green water, I was actually told, oh, that's the standard. We know better than that.
Right. Well, we just have about 10 minutes left, and you mentioned DuPont in relation to PFOA, and they have been a pretty evil chemical company for a long time. And I know even going back to World War I, they were developing in chemical weapons, and your recent initiative with the veterans is about a chemical on bases that are causing trouble for the soldiers. But also we have to think this military has had a long history of using chemical weapons, depleted uranium, Agent Orange, mustard gas, and now the bases are they're using a chemical that's harming the troops. And of course the troops are all harmed by all of these weapons that are also used on the population, because they live and work in these areas on civilian populations. So and I believe you're also participating in a march in Washington DC coming up. So and I do want to give the link to your to your map that you're that you've been talking about, I did look at it today, and it is quite disturbing, you know, the data that's on it. But talk about the initiative that you're involved in, and how could people get more information about it?
Well, first of all, it's with the military, and I have great admiration and love for our military men and women. I'm a military mom. My son served in Afghanistan, United States Army, 10th Mountain Division, and my daughter Elizabeth, military police, Old Ironside is where she was stationed. And I care greatly about their health and their welfare, and I've seen the struggles when they come home from combat. I've seen it with my son, who's medically retired. And I got involved years ago with the Camp Lejeune situation and the terrible PCE mm-hmm. contamination out there.
Right.
And the soldiers, for me, they go to combat to defend us and come home and get poisoned on their own soil, or to find out their family and their children have been poisoned on their own soil while they're gone, is as bad as it can get. And this goes beyond Camp Lejeune. I mean, the EPA has now shown that there's 400 military bases across the United States right now that they can confirm are contaminated, mostly with PFOS, but other contaminants as well, mainly TCE. And I've had soldiers and their families coming to me for years, what is going on? And then they get answers, well, yes, there's a contamination, and yes, we had to shut down the wells, but they can't get treatment from the VA because they're saying that's not associated with what's wrong with you. And
right.
Some people are suffering terribly, and they want answers. So they've started a group called, and I really like this, and I appreciate what they're doing, and it's their mission. And it's called Operation Stand Together. And it is bringing all toxic veterans from all bases all over the United States together. Because if we can see the bigger picture, and this isn't one base, what if it's all bases? How many soldiers and their families could be facing diseases? So they know they're going to have to join forces, if you will, and that's what they're doing. So you can just go to Operation Stand Together. You can read all about what they're doing. And they're having a gathering, a rally, one of the first ever, May 20th, up in D.C. And I'm going to go there and speak. And Jerry Ensminger from Camp Lejeune will be there. And we hope, and they've been trying to raise money, because a lot of the vets don't have the extra money to get out to the event. So they've been trying to raise money to help them get to the event. And it's just the beginning. And if there's ever a group of people that are going to stand strong, we're talking about them right now. And they are very upset. And they are very concerned about the health and the welfare of themselves and their family and their children in relationship to the polluted bases that the EPA knows, has known, and is confirming are contaminated throughout the U.S. And
well, you know,
actually, tonight, I'm right down the street at 7:30. A county council is going to do an emergency resolution regarding this issue in the state of California and the bases that are contaminated and the vets here at home and what they're going through, so they can get it as a platform up and lobby in Sacramento. So I'm really glad that they've heard their voices, and the state of California, I hope, will be a leader in this, as they have been on other issues.
Well, absolutely. And I know I had some friends from Vietnam era that died from Agent Orange poisoning. It's still
yes.
happening in Vietnam. The population there still being poisoned. My father-in-law was put on ships that have been hit by atomic
mm-hmm.
bombs in World War II. You know, it's like,
right.
Stop having these wars, and then stop poisoning our troops and the people around the world.
Absolutely. And you know, we've watched what's happened with the troops and the open burn pits and the hexavalent chromium at war. For them to come home and be through combat and what they've done and be poisoned on their own soil.
Right.
And then we have to sit here and have arguments with agencies or political party affiliations to get them to do the right thing by them blows my mind. And I don't think anybody is saying, although, you know, go away or we don't understand what you're doing. Here's the thing. Acknowledge it, clean it up, and do right by these families.
Well, it is absolutely tragic and disgusting. And I've seen some veterans talking about this situation and just, gosh, just this toxicity of our environment that's harming so many people. And I'm so glad that you're still there fighting. I went on your website. You're extraordinary in what you're trying to do for everybody. So, Erin, we have a few minutes left. Can you tell people how they can get more information about what you're doing and contact you if they need to know a chain of poison for if they feel
sure.
like they've been poisoned?
Well, first of all, for the veterans, operations stand together. They're really strong, and again, it's their mission. And we, until we see the big picture, we won't always get the help that people need. So it's really important. I hope that they all will join Toxic Veterans around the world, throughout the U.S., base by base, so we can actually really see what's going on. I think we're going to be, unfortunately, surprised. And it saddens me. Two, it's very important for people in these communities. They can report to communityhealthbook.com. You can go and you can register. And all my legacy data is not yet uploaded because my map is now married to a new software system. So we started with the new system because it can actually qualify and quantify information. We've already identified what might be two clusters in the U.S. And so people can go and report. It will be private. It is not going to be shared, but you will be able to, once you're registered, go in, and over time we will be layering each city that reports with their municipal water report. If there's a known pollution, we're going to be able to tell them what it is. We'll be able to upload reports, and other people can report so we can see the bigger picture. Even for people who moved away, they can report back and go, you know what? I lived out here for 15 years. I have this problem. And so
right.
we can begin to see the true numbers. And last but not least, people can go to my website, which is brockovich.com, but they can email me, and I read my emails. And sometimes if I don't get back to you immediately, I'm out of town, but I will get back to people. And that's Erin@Brockovich.com. And that is my personal email.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Erin. And keep in touch and let us know if there's any way we can help.
Thank you. And thank you for all that you do and having me on. It was really nice talking to you. And I'm very sorry about your sister.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it's still fresh, but, you know, we still have to go on, right?
Oh, we do. I've lost my mom and my dad, and we do know. And but we will keep fighting. For legacy, for what we leave.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you, Erin.
Thanks so much.
I'm Cindy. Thank you. I'm Cindy Sheehan. You've been listening to The People Speak with Cindy Sheehan. Our guest has been the amazing Erin Brockovich. And I'd like to thank my producer, Mike Kim, and our usual engineer, Don Newsom, for helping with the show, and for Doug for filling in tonight. And so peace out for now.
This land is your land. This land is my land. From California to the New York Island. From the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters. This land was made for you and me. Thank you.